You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Today, we'll be discussing recruiting, a lot in regards to Michigan football and a little about Michigan men's basketball, plus a couple other topics on this episode of Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, the ping pong balls fell in the Detroit Pistons' favor. Do they still use those? Is that still a thing? I didn't actually watch the show. Is that that's not been a thing maybe anymore?
They didn't show the ping pongs live. They just had like the guy would show the whatever the order was, but they didn't have any sort of ping pong balls. He was just flipping over like boards.
Yeah. All right. Gotcha. Well, yeah,
I've never been a big fan of the draft, but like the ping pong balls were what like made it interesting or fun, you know?
Right.
So I feel like I was watching like the 7 o'clock, Sunday lottery, poll.
Right. Oh man. All right. Well, yeah, we'll see. Probably Cade Cunningham's your guy, I'd say, Pistons fans. But this is the Wolverine Confidential Podcast, so that's what we're going to be focusing on. Ryan, last episode, you were talking about the long commitment drought for the Michigan football program. It had been a while since a player, had pledged his commitment to the Wolverines. Did that drought end since we last spoke?
Yes, it did. With two commitments on Saturday, I wouldn't say any headliners, but I mean, you still got to start filling out this class. And they were able to do that by landing a couple prospects in the 2022 class. The first one was CJ Stokes, a three-star running back from South Carolina, ranked number 705 overall in the class, the number 59 running back. And to me, it was a little bit of a surprise because all three crystal ball predictions were in favor of his home state, South Carolina Gamecocks. So it looks like Michigan was able to kind of lure him in with a strong visit. And a couple hours after that, they landed an in-state prospect in Aaron Alexander, a linebacker from Belleville, who actually wasn't ranked in the 24/7 Sports composite on Saturday, but I just looked again now and he does have a composite ranking, the number 1,220 overall player in the class. And he's listed as an athlete, but I think he'll transition to, or he'll be a linebacker in Ann Arbor. So it's not two guys that won't move the needle much in the rankings, but they're up to nine commitments now. Class ranks number 20 nationally and number 5 in the Big Ten, which isn't great, but I mean, their average prospect rating is number 4 behind Ohio State, Penn State, and surprising Indiana. So still a lot of work to do in this class, but it looks like after this big weekend of visits that there's a few more crystal ball predictions for a few more guys as well.
I think it moved the needle back, actually. Weren't they like 16 or 17 last week, right? National ranking?
No, they were like 24, 25. Obviously. So they did move up. Okay. Yeah. You can't move down when you add prospect. Oh, well, unless there is several other schools that land a lot of commitments too. But no, they did move up. Not much, but in the top 20 now.
Obviously, with recruiting, oftentimes you just bring a kid on campus, one kid at a time, and you show him around and he's your focus. And other times you kind of just throw a big party and have a bunch at the same time and try to, have a major recruiting event, and get a bunch of commitments all at once. Ryan, you learned a little bit about what this past weekend, I guess, looked like at the football facilities and, kind of what this recruiting event, what it entailed.
Yeah, I was surprised with how much went on in such a short period of time. I spoke with Connor Jones, a three-star offensive tackle commit from Colorado, and he's like, yeah, he got there. Went straight to the Brown Jug to have lunch and meet a lot of the other guys. And then they went paintballing and then went out on Friday night with their host and were showed around the town. And the next day they went bowling, had lunch, and then went to Jim Harbaugh, hosted a pool party at his house. His brother John Harbaugh was there, so bringing in a little NFL flavor to the recruiting weekend. They had dinner at the big house on Saturday, and the host took them out for a few more spots on the town on Saturday, mixed in with meetings with their position coaches, strength and nutrition staff, and then had the flight back to Colorado. So it seems like there was a busy weekend, and Michigan kind of rolled out the red carpet for this big recruiting weekend. As we kind of detailed last week, there was a lot of top targets and a lot of their commits that were on campus.
I actually ate a couple weeks ago at the Brown Jug as well. I noted, I don't know if this was always the case. I don't, maybe it was, but they had their menu they have, you know, after different, you know, coaches on campus, their item, you know, named after them. Harbaugh's was the 8 ounce sirloin steak. I mean, the fact that it's steak makes sense, but 8 ounces, I don't think Harbaugh would approve of that. I mean, I also noticed they misspelled Phil Martelli's name. It was Phil Mantelli. It was fish and chips. I sent a picture to him and he said he had no idea about this and that. Like he, so it's not like he, that's what he orders or that's his favorite dish. They just kind of, I guess, decided what they were going to go with for some of these yeah, coaches.
I know the owner of the Brown Jug, Perry Perikos, has, I mean, his son played on the Michigan hockey team. Mm-hmm. And I know they kind of have a really good relationship with the Harbaugh family. So yeah, the Brown Jug is kind of a institutional spot for recruits on visits. That's kind of their go-to spot there when they first get to campus. So, and not a big surprise.
Perry's a big donor to the athletic department. They tend to bring recruits and their families through there. So if you ever want to spot a recruit, that's probably a good place to check out. They tend to take them there all the time, there and, you know, Blue Lap and Study Hall and all those places. So,
all right. So yeah, very nice. Would you say, I mean, so overall, I mean, success, failure, just kind of, let's see.
Yeah. I mean, getting two commitments is big. And I think the bigger news is some of the guys that they're now trending for on the crystal ball. I mean, I think they're arguably the biggest defensive target in the class. Realistic. I mean, obviously Walter Nolan, the 5-star defensive tackle, number 2 overall recruit, would be a dream. And it sounds like his dad talked to some of the recruiting services and said they thoroughly enjoyed their time. But another guy, 4-star defensive end, Justice Finkley, number 129 overall in the class. I mean, he's an athletic player that can play on the edge and real versatile, which Michigan needs along the defensive line now under Mike McDonald's new defense. He has 2 crystal balls in favor of Michigan now. Another edge rusher and 4-star Mario Eugenio from Florida, number 285 in the class. He has 4 crystal balls and announced that he's making his commitment July 5th. So Michigan should find out how they stand pretty quickly with him. 5 crystal balls for Texas 3-star wide receiver Dylan Bell. 6 for Connecticut offensive tackle Alessandro Lorenzetti. Pretty awesome name there, although he's not ranked in the composite ranking. So, and then finally, Deion Walker, I was able to speak with him yesterday too. He has 4 predictions to land at Michigan in the crystal balls, but he's in no rush to make a decision. He's still got some visits lined up and he will be announcing his top 5 in July, but Michigan has doing pretty well for him at this point.
All right. You got any more football recruiting? Cause we do have a basketball commit as well.
Final weekend for that. They recruits can visit here is this weekend. So they'll have a few more on campus. They actually had a few prospects take their midweek officials too this week. So yeah, it's wrapping up a very busy month for prospects and coaches in college football.
I've actually got one. It's sort of recruiting. I spoke to Dylan Baldwin, the graduate transfer receiver, the other day. He's the one from Jackson State. I haven't wrote anything yet, so I'm not going to give the whole story away here on the podcast, but spoke to him at length, probably 10, 15 minutes the other day, and he had some interesting things he told me. Interestingly enough, as I think we talked about last week or a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, he's from the Detroit area. But he grew up an Ohio State fan. So I thought it was pretty fascinating. He told me that. He said growing up, most of his teammates and friends were Michigan State fans. Well, he was Ohio State. He decided to come to Michigan. In fact, you know, it sounds like Josh Gattis and Ron Bellamy were recruiting him. They called him up as he was leaving his work out at Ohio State a few weeks back. So kind of fascinating story. be writing more about it here probably within the next couple of days. It'll be on MLive.com. But yeah, he's the graduate transfer receiver coming in. He's got 2 years eligibility. He's looking forward to playing, and it's actually quite an interesting story because, you know, he felt like he was under-recruited coming out of high school. He felt like he was, you know, he was kind of a late bloomer, he called himself, but he's ready to go. So it should be an interesting fall with him on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, those are questions we had last week about kind of what his path was. So I'm glad you're able to get some answers about that. Look forward to reading it. As I said, the men's basketball team got its first commitment for 2022. Doug McDaniel. Doug, D-U-G.
Doug.
There you go. Not his real name. Nasir, I think is how you pronounce it. It's K-N-A-S-I-R, but he goes by Doug. I don't know. It was one of those things where like his high school coach was like, oh, it's a good story. Ask him. It's really funny. Like he'll tell you. I don't want to tell you. And then I ask him and he's just like, oh, you know, that's what my aunt called me and how she spelled it. So that's why we did it. It's like, all right, well, so, yeah, he's from he's from the DMV area, same conference, you know, high school conference that Hunter Dickinson and Terrence Williams played in. And he's listed at 5'9", and his coach told me when, you know, we spoke for, you know, when he was being recruited, you know, before his commitment back in late April, that he's more like 5'11", but I don't know. To me, he's playing a high level basketball, you know, both in his high school conference and on the AAU circuit, and he's getting the job done. So I don't know. To me, that's like not a huge deal. Obviously it matters a little more as you move up to the college ranks, but yeah, he's the number 85 player overall in the class, number 14 point guard. His AAU coach with Team Takeover, Keith Stevens, you know, he called him the best passer in high school basketball. Obviously he's a little biased, but you know, he said he's fast and he's athletic and he's just a great passer. His high school coach, Glenn Ferrello, said, you know, pass first point guard, but he can score and he's just so fast with the ball in his hands. So, you know, they give positive reviews. You know, Michigan, they were going after other point guards. They had hosted, two others during this, you know, this earlier this month, you know, Seth Trimble and Jaden Bradley. You know, Trimble was ranked 54 overall, Jaden Bradley 13 overall and the second best point guard. But I don't know, like you don't want to get stuck with nobody, first of all. And I think it's also wrong to assume that Michigan, you know, valued those guys above McDaniel to begin with. Like, you know, rankings are not the be all end all. I mean, they're used initially to kind of create a list, but I don't know. I'll just, as an example, last year, you know, 9 centers coming out of high school were ranked above Hunter Dickinson, you know, including a kid who went to Michigan State. And if you're like, wait, who was that at Michigan State? I'm like, exactly. Like, you know, there's a thing like Evan Mobley was a top ranked center. Okay. He's the only guy you can say like definitively had a better year, you know, than Dickinson. So like, you know, these things, it's not an exact science. And you know, you want to get the right fit for your program. So, you know, Michigan now has a point guard. You would think they maybe wouldn't be so interested in those other guys that they had offered to, as far as this would be. You've got Eli Brooks will not be on the team, you know, when Doug McDaniel comes in, you know, 2 seasons from now. And then you've got, you know, Frankie Collins, who will be a freshman on this team, you know, this coming season. So, you know, you want a point guard probably in every class, and Doug McDaniel is their guy for Michigan. So, yeah, just the first one. Michigan, I'll remind you, has the number one recruiting class in the country coming in here for 2021. I'll have a big story about kind of how that class was assembled, each guy coming, and now looks like Friday morning. So be on the lookout for that story. But Juwan Howard and the staff already getting to work for 2022. Yeah, there was other news as well, just sort of generally speaking for college athletes we can hit on real quick to close, which is the, you know, Supreme Court ruling unanimously 9-0 against the NCAA in a, you know, suit that it's a little confusing. Like, there's kind of 2 parts to this. What they ruled on, what they were asked to rule on, which is, you know, the NCAA can no longer enforce, you know, caps on education related benefits for, you know, student athletes. So whether that be grad school scholarships or tutoring or, you know, internships, things like that. Yeah, they can't have caps on those for just because they're student athletes. So that's what they ruled on. So it was a victory there for the student athletes, the former student athletes that brought about that lawsuit. But kind of almost the bigger story was then, you know, one of the justices, Brett Kavanaugh, writing a, you know, concurring opinion, you know, that is added on to the, you know, response from the court, and just sort of blasting the NCAA. I mean, there's just so many like lines, you know, you can pull from this, but, you know, the NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. The NCAA is not above the law. Nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate. So, you know, as far as antitrust law is concerned, that's really what this comes into. The NCAA wants exemptions, and Supreme Court has made it very clear they're not going to get it. So it's basically like, you won this one, you know, athletes, feel free to file more, because we are, you know, we're going to be on your side as far as these things go.
To me, the door has basically been opened for for more and more. I don't know if I'm going to call it pay or benefits for these student athletes. They're going to start getting more and more. And look, that's the road that's kind of been heading here for the last couple of years with NIL, the push for NIL and paying players and the like. It's probably a good move. I will say, anytime folks can blast the NCAA, folks have no problem doing it. That seems to be the popular, you know, action the last decade or so, and probably rightfully deserved. But yeah, it's going to be interesting next couple of years once NIL is kind of fully enacted and states kind of, and schools kind of have their hands grasp of everything. Because look, we're still in the infancy of all this. It's still moving, and there's still a lot of questions to be had. But the road has been paved here for athletes to acquire and get and be paid, just and get more benefits here down the road, which is, you know, you can make the argument whether players should be paid and whatever, but like, the reality is these players make a lot of money for the NCAA, whether it's through the tournaments, championships, TV rights, distribution, et cetera. And they probably deserve at least, you know, a cut of it.
Right. I mean, once coaches started making, they're going into the millions and millions of dollars a year, $5-6 million a year for the top guys. And, you know, the NCAA tournament worth billions, and the college football playoff billions, like, you know, once those numbers became just astronomical, of course, the players were going to want their piece as well. So as Aaron alludes to, NIL, of course, standing for name, image, likeness, the student athlete's ability to be compensated for doing an endorsement, or, you know, having ads on their, you know, Instagram page or things like that. That's where it's really, that's what people are more interested about. And that right now, at least, is a state by state issue. And in Michigan, for example, its law, it does have laws on the books. They won't take effect until December 31st, 2022. So it's just best to say essentially 2023 is when those are coming. You know, in other states, California could be as early as this year, and it's possible it could get pushed up in Michigan. You don't know, but that's where we're at right now with that. That's a state by state issue. There's no federal guidance on this. The NCAA is kind of lost trying to figure out what to do here, and they've dragged their feet for so long. But that's what student athletes are most interested in.
It's important to point out the NCAA is pushing Congress for a federal law, NIL law, just to try and make things consistent and across the board for the entire country. And Congress hasn't, I mean, they've held hearings and they've worked on things, but like, both sides of Congress are not on board with this at this point. So as of right now, you're going to have a handful of states enact NIL laws. I believe they start July 1, Florida and a couple other states in the South. Yeah. And it's going to give them an inherent advantage, at least at the very beginning, because you're going to have those schools in those states. They're going to say, hey, if you come here, you can do this stuff and make money and everything else. Whereas states like Michigan and others who either don't have an NIL law, you know, passed or delayed, it's not going to start until the end of next year, They're going to be a disadvantage. So I think that's why the NCAA is pushing for a across the board singular law. But at this point, there's no sign of that happening. Now the NCAA is pushing schools to kind of do their own thing, and they are pushing states to pass things. But you can't force a state to do, you know, to do something. They got to decide it on their own. So it's going to be interesting next few months, once this football season gets going this fall.
Absolutely, yes. Something to monitor.
If I'm a head coach in one of the states that doesn't have any laws on the books, I would be livid right now, because I mean, you're going to be facing, yeah, like Aaron said, a severe disadvantage early on, which it's a slippery slope. I think we're entering here come July 1st, and we'll see how it plays out. But it could get messy, I think.
All right. Well, we'll be monitoring that. Other recruiting news and anything else related to the Wolverines, you'll read it on MLive.com/Wolverines and hear about it here on the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. Thanks for listening.